Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's been said that life is like a journey. In fact, one author said, life is a journey that must be traveled no matter how bad the roads and accommodations. There's a lot of truth to that. As we travel the pathway of life, there are days when the path beneath our feet seems fairly level and smooth. The pace of life is gentle and relaxed. Everything seems to be under control. At times like these, life seems so easy. But at other times, the grade beneath our feet can be extremely steep and difficult. Life can seem like an uphill climb. The going is arduous and slow. During such periods, we can grow tired and weak and weary from the journey. We can get discouraged and downhearted. We begin to doubt whether we will make it to the next day, much less to the end of the journey. And then, of course, there are times in life when the path beneath our feet is sloped downwards, and life comes at us so fast that we lose control. The path beneath our feet is slippery and treacherous, and in our haste, we slip and fall. We make a total mess of things. That's what life is like for all people. Everyone encounters hazards and hardships and unexpected twists and turns. There are no exceptions. But while this is true, that life is a journey, and that everyone is at some point along that journey, the Bible teaches us that we are not all going in the same direction. We are not all headed to the same destination. Life may be a journey, but there are only two destinations, only two pathways to follow. One pathway leads to heaven, to everlasting life with God in glory. The other pathway leads to hell, to eternal condemnation with Satan in the lake of fire. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Beloved, that is essentially what Solomon is writing about here in Proverbs 3. These are the words of wisdom passed down from a father to his son. The father's desire is that his son would heed his instruction and follow the better way, the wise way, the pathway that leads to life. The key to this instruction, the key to finding the better way, is found here in verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. These verses tell us that despite the hardship and hazards we encounter in life, God's way is a pathway to true blessing, to true happiness, and most importantly, it is the pathway to eternal life. So we're going to consider this passage today under the theme, "The wise teacher instructs his son to follow the better way." And as you will see, the better way involves two things. First, total dependence upon God. And secondly, true direction from God. Verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." In this verse, King Solomon uses two words that basically mean the same thing. On the one hand, he speaks of trusting. On the other hand, he speaks of leaning. We're familiar with the idea of trusting. To trust is to demonstrate complete confidence in something or someone. It is to have a total reliance in something or someone. Likewise, the word leaning basically communicates the same idea of trust, but in a figurative sense. For example, when we lean against something or upon something, we do so with confidence and assurance that the object against which we are leaning is strong. It is supportive. It is strong and unmoving. Once during our holidays, we stopped at a scenic outlook which overlooked a steep canyon. We got out of the car and walked over to a secure area where you could stand and look out over the deep and expansive canyon and take pictures. But as we got to the edge, it struck me that all that was standing between us and the bottom of the canyon was a simple iron railing. And yet people were leaning on it. In fact, they would lean out over it and look down, or they would lean their back against it and have people take a photo of them with the canyon in the background. In other words, people put a lot of faith in that railing. They had complete confidence that it would support them and hold them up. Whereas if that railing was nothing but a termite-infested wooden plank, weak, shaky, and rotten, I doubt that anyone would have had the confidence to lean against it, much less to lean out over it and look down. In our text, Solomon calls us to trust in or lean upon the Lord, and not to trust nor to lean upon our own understanding. But the question of this text is this. Why is that? Why is it that we are told to trust in the Lord and not to trust in ourselves? That is, our own understanding. What is it about God that we can trust? And just as importantly, what is it about ourselves that we cannot? Perhaps the best way to answer that question is to look at the character and nature of God. There are three aspects of God's nature and character that we are going to examine. For one, we can have complete trust in God because He is almighty. That means that God is in complete and sovereign control of heaven and earth and all that is in them. A man may think that he is in control of his life, that he ultimately chooses his life's direction and destiny. But as Psalm 90 says, man is but a breath, a wind, and a vapor. Jesus pointed out man's utter weakness in the Sermon on the Mount when he said that man is incapable of adding even a single hour to his own life. For all man's tough talk, for all man's pride and boasting and hubris, the fact is, in the eyes of the Almighty Sovereign God, man is in no more the captain of his fate than the ant who crawls at man's feet. God is in sovereign control of everything and everyone. So the man who thinks that he calls the shots, who thinks he is carefree and independent, the one in charge of his destiny, that man is a fool. Our Almighty God is in complete control of every aspect of our lives, every moment of the day, whether we are awake or asleep. Earlier, we talked about the vital relationship between leaning on something and the strength of that object. Psalm 46 tells us, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. That passage tells us that we can lean on God when trials and troubles arise, when we encounter hardship and heartache, or times of uncertainty. Even then, we can be confident. Even then, we can trust. We can lean on God. We can stand our ground and not be shaken, not fear or fret, because God is our rock. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He is almighty. And as our almighty and all-knowing God, we firmly believe that God has a perfect plan for our lives. We firmly believe and trust that God knows the right way to the right ends. And so He calls us to trust Him with our present and with our future. We trust Him for He is the God who loves us dearly, who purchased us with His own blood, and who promises to work out everything, even adversity, for our own good. A second reason that we can trust God is because He is always faithful. What a wonderful blessing this is. Think of the fact that, unlike us, God does not have a reputation for being late, or for being forgetful, or for being unpredictable or moody or inconsistent. God does not change like the shifting shadows, and thankfully God's love for us does not increase or decrease based on how He feels about us from one moment to the next. One of the faults and weaknesses of our love is that our love tends to be conditional. We tend to love those who are lovable. We tend to love those who we deem are deserving of our love. But the Bible says God demonstrates the faithfulness and unconditional nature of His love in that while we were yet sinners, God loved us. So every day we can trust in, we can lean on His constant, unfailing, unfading, unconditional love. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. And how wonderful is it that in Jesus Christ, God has placed this same character, this same virtue in our hearts, so that we, as God's people, can model that same kind of love. That we can love our spouse, our parents, our children, our friends with the same kind of Christ-like, unconditional, unfailing, unfading love. We can trust in God with all our hearts because He is almighty, because He is ever faithful. And a third and final reason we can trust in God with all our heart is because He is true. This really says it all when it comes to the question of trusting in man or leaning on our own understanding. Scripture teaches us that when it comes to true wisdom, man is blind, man is lost, man is a fool. And that by nature, man is a liar. He is utterly set adrift in a sea of lies in which he cannot rightly discern truth from error. So as we look at this verse, it begs the question then, how reliable can man's understanding be? How much confidence can man place in his own smarts, in his own opinion, in his own strength and ability to find his way, to chart his own course, to discern truth from error? I recently heard a well-known song sung by a popular singer from the 60s, Frank Sinatra. The song was called My Way. He sings about the different things he has done in his life and ends the chorus, "I did it my way." Earlier, we talked about man's boastful pride and hubris. Well, that's the national anthem of secular humanism. I did it my way. Man shakes his fist in the face of God and says, "I don't need you. I will make or break my own life." What he is really saying is there is no sovereign God. Psalm 14 and 53 speaks to this mindset when it says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Man then, in his own wisdom, becomes a liar and a fool. And apart from God, he is utterly blind and lost in the darkness of his own depravity and sin. But God, God is light. God is life. God is truth. And God has given us His word of truth to us. God has sent His only begotten Son into this world, Jesus Christ. He is the one who is called the way and the truth and the life. So that by believing in Jesus Christ, by trusting in His saving work, we could be saved from our sins, from all our guilt, from all our blindness, our depravity and darkness, from the lies and deceit of Satan. And so as Christians, we come to rely upon Jesus Christ. We come to rely upon His wisdom. That is what the book of Proverbs is all about. It's about revealing to us the wisdom that comes from on high, wisdom incarnate, and the spirit of wisdom, so we can lean on our God. So having been joined to Christ by faith, we can trust in Christ's spirit to lead us and guide us in the way of divine wisdom and truth, to lead us away from our old sinful ways, to following the ways of righteousness and holiness. So today, God's word comes to us and says, do not lean on your own understanding. Do not trust in your own ways or depend upon your own wisdom or intuition. For man is weak, man is unfaithful, and man is untrue. Man's wisdom is like that termite-infested rotten railing, not to be leaned on. Instead, trust in the Lord. Lean on Him, for He is almighty. He is faithful, and He is true. So God's way, the better way, involves true dependence upon God. But secondly, we see that the better way also involves true direction from God. Verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Notice what that says. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Most of us, as Christians, have no problem acknowledging the Lord, that is, allowing Him to lead, when it comes to big decisions in our life, when we find ourselves in a crisis, or when we stand at a crossroads or when we're looking for direction in a very important matter in life. That's when we're open and inclined to ask God for his leading. We plead with God to make his will clear to us. Lord, lead us in the way we should go, and help us to follow where you lead. However, when it comes to the minutiae of life, when it comes to the everyday affairs of life, when it comes down to those small decisions about how we spend our money, or what we do with our free time, or who we choose for our friends, or how we run our business or go about our daily work, then we're not always so willing to ask God to lead, and we're not quick to acknowledge the ways of God. To be perfectly honest, there are areas in our life, or perhaps aspects of our character or nature, where we really don't want God's direction. There are areas of our life where we don't want God to intrude. We're satisfied with the way we do things in our personal life, in our family life, or in our married life. It works for us. Good or bad, that's just the way it is. Or if it's an aspect of our character or personality that is in view here, we say the same thing. I am who I am, and don't try to change me. I don't particularly like it either, but that's the kind of person I am. Or we say about a relative or someone we know, that's the kind of person he is or she is. They're really quick-tempered. They like to pick a fight. They always complain about something, or they're just bitter and mean-spirited. It's best to accept that and let it be. What can we say that? Is that one of those battles that's better left alone? Would we or they be acknowledging God in all our ways? Evil is a constant before us, and so must be our faith in God, our Savior, to overcome it. This is the same response we should have towards someone who comes up to us and says, I am the way I am, and you can't change me. I'm set in my ways, and that's that. And this is the same response we need to have when someone tells us, that's just the way so-and-so is, and we have to live with that. You just have to accept some people the way they are. But then, what does that say about grace? What does that say about our faith in the power of the gospel, the power of salvation to change people, to convert people from unrighteousness to righteousness, to deliver them from the power of sin and Satan, and to bring their entire lives under the power and control of Christ and his Spirit? This is what this verse in Proverbs is saying, isn't it? In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will make your path straight. If at any point of our life we stop short of that, if there is any area of our life that we withhold from God, if there is any aspect of our character that we say is beyond control and influence of God, then we are being faithless and short-sighted. That is exactly when and where the pathway becomes difficult to walk. I will guarantee you that if there is an area of your life or your character or personality that you run by yourself, that you will not turn over to God and follow his perfect will and direction, then you will suffer misery and anguish there again and again. Galatians chapter 5 talks about self-examination. I challenge each of you to pray about this. Go to God in prayer and ask God's Spirit to search your heart and mind and show you the hidden faults, the sins, and weaknesses. Often we are already familiar with our character shortcomings. They often become badges we wear of our particular personality, whether it be pride and boasting, a quick temper, or jealousy and judgment. They can be so ingrained in us that even when loved ones point it out, we brush off the remarks as irrelevant. Take that sin and weakness to God and ask him to cleanse you of it. Ask him to purge you of your pride and self-confidence. Ask God to fill you with his word and spirit to show you the right way to live, the right direction to walk, so that you can conquer that sin, so that God's grace may abound in all things. The wise preacher of Proverbs said, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." He will direct your paths. And know this too, no matter how great or how small the trial or issue may be, God calls us to come to Him in prayer and seek out His will, His way, His leading. It just might happen that you have traveled a certain distance in life for a long time now, and now God calls you to change, to do an about-face. Listen to these words Matthew Henry wrote in connection with this verse. Those that faithfully follow the pillar of cloud and fire shall find that though it lead them about, it leads them the right way and will bring them to Canaan at last. That's ultimately what this passage is getting at. To acknowledge the Lord is to acknowledge His word and wisdom. And the word and wisdom of God is embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace that leads us to everlasting life. So yes, beloved, life is a journey. It's full of ups and downs and twists and turns. Some days are slow and easy. Some days are hard. We fight an uphill battle. And other days, life comes at us so fast that we tumble and fall and make a mess of things. But while our experience in life may be relatively similar to the next person, the difference is that as Christians, we trust in the Lord. We lean on Him. We do not try to run our own lives. And we look at God for direction and guidance and light. We acknowledge God's ways because He is always right. His ways are perfect. He knows the end from the beginning. And as we already said, God knows the right way to the right ends. The smart man or woman will come before Him every day in prayer, asking for His wisdom, for insight, for direction. Not only when the trials and decisions are great, but even when the trials and decisions seem small and inconsequential. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, the Lord will direct your footsteps. He will lead you in the pathway of blessing and peace, of happiness and contentment. And most importantly, He will lead you to eternal life. Amen.